Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, speak for yourself, listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com. Now, let's start the show.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcel Swiley here with my man Emmanuel Acho. A Bieber fan, I heard.
Oh, bruh. Show love.
Under 30s in the building. All right, we're going to get it started right here with Aaron Rodgers, who was left scratching his head when the Packers traded up to draft quarterback Jordan Love in the first round. Rodgers is entering his 16th season in Green Bay, but the new quarterback addition has many wondering if Love will be on the field sooner rather than later. In a recent podcast, Rodgers made it seem like he knows his days in Green Bay are numbered. Take a listen.
I don't harbor any ill will about it. Like, was I bummed out? Of course. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't be? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I wanted to play my entire career in Green Bay. I love the city. I grew up there. Really, I was 21. I'm 36 now. You know, a lot changes during that time. But look, I get it. I see it completely clearly, and I'm not bitter about it. It just kind of is what it is.
Man, he in outer space. He's a Green Bay or out of this world, huh? I tell you, you feel sorry for Aaron Rodgers?
My dog, yes. I pity Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I'm going to shed a tear. I'm going to shed a tear, Marcellus. Now, look, okay, it's hard for me to feel sorry for a man who's made over $100 million in his career. It's hard for me to feel sorry for a man who I see on my TV with his double-checking whatchamacallit commercials.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel sorry for him because the Packers have squandered Aaron Rodgers' career. They have squandered Aaron Rodgers' greatness.
Squandered?
Squandered.
Super Bowl champion. MVP.
Great. I'm glad you went there because you led me straight to my water, so I'm going to drink it. The Packers had Brett Favre for 16 or so years.
Yeah.
One Super Bowl to show for it.
Yeah.
Packers have had Aaron Rodgers now for climbing across that same year marker. One Super Bowl to show for it. Yeah. The Packers have never given Aaron Rodgers enough weapons to do what he really can do. Here's what I mean by that, sir. Aaron Rodgers' career, he's had a top 10 scoring defense three times, 2009, 2010. What happened in 2010? They won the Super Bowl. What happened this past year, 2019? That's the third time, only the third time in Aaron Rodgers' tenure with the Packers that they've had a top 10 scoring defense. You saw how far they went. So when you give Aaron Rodgers a defense, when you give Aaron Rodgers some help, Aaron Rodgers can take you far. So not only have they squandered his career, they've mitigated the success of his career because they won't help the man. So do I feel sorry for Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, I do. I'm not going to shed a tear up here in this suit because I got some makeup on and I'm not going to ruin it.
Yeah.
But I feel sorry for my dog. I do.
I don't feel sorry for him. You look crispy, too. You look really good. Is he still starting?
He is.
Oh, okay. So he can write his own ticket. So I don't feel sorry for that. Is he still named Aaron Rodgers?
He is.
Did they take all of his skill set out of his body when they drafted Jordan Love? No. Aaron Rodgers is still in pole position. He writes what's going on in Green Bay. Unfortunately, he also reads what's going on in Green Bay, and the writing is on the wall that sooner rather than later, they're going to play Jordan Love. But I still don't feel sorry for you. And you want to talk about these weapons or lack thereof. In Tom Brady's 20 years in New England, you know how many offensive Pro Bowlers he had? I'm trying to quote my man Colin Cowherd, since I do watch his show in preparation for our show. 11 in 20 years. Aaron Rodgers in 12 years had 12. Aaron Rodgers had more Pro Bowlers on the offensive side, more weapons. Right now he has, and Jones, that is a top-tier running back, Aaron Jones. Let's talk about receiver, Devontae Adams. Is he a top receiver? Yes. So what all this, is his offensive line top five in the NFL? Yes. Whoa, he doesn't have weapons. That's such a lazy argument from a Bieber fan. What? I don't understand why you went there.
No, sir. Here's what we're not going to do. Right. Marcellus, what side of the ball did you play on, sir?
Defense.
How many phases of the game are there, sir? Three phases of the game. You got offense, you got defense, you got special teams. So you're sitting here and you're going to tell me about the help that Tom Brady hasn't had offensively in comparing Tom Brady to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's weapons.
Can we talk about defense, sir? Because what you know what the Patriots have continually, annually? Yeah, tap the
Bill Belichick.
Tap the death.
Bill Belichick.
They have Belichick, but more than that, they have a perennial top 10 defense year in and year out.
I'll give you some of that.
And so it's not just about the lack of help, because not only does Aaron Rodgers not have a ton of help offensively, the Packers defensively haven't been stout. So we can't just act as if a whole phase of the game, a phase, sir, that you played on. Yeah. So how dare you disrespect defense by ignoring it, a phase that you played on.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to sit here and let you ignore that.
Well, you're actually not respecting my experience there to realize that if you put a stalwart defense, all-time defense, and they played in this hypothetical game against the best offense, best defense, you know who's going to win that game? The offense. Because the defense can play great for 58 and a half minutes. And then that offense gets that Patrick Mahomes moment. Dot, dot, dot. And then there it went. You just lost the game. It could be 7-3. It could be 21-0. Whatever it is, the defense can hold up for only so long. The offense just needs opportunities. To say that you feel sorry for Aaron Rodgers makes you disrespect what the game of NFL football is really about. It's a use industry. It's an organization saying, hey, we're going to allow you to use us up in terms of how much we're going to pay you in compensation, and use us up in terms of resources. Do what you want. Use our platform. But we're going to use your butt up, too, for all the talent you have on that field. And as soon as we feel like, not enough toothpaste left in the tube, we're going to get a new tube. And you're going to have to find you a new organization. So this is teetering on that border of entitlement. If your mindset, millennial, is to go to a place and say, I expect to be here for my entire career. That doesn't work in the real world. You know, you don't walk into a corporation and say, you know what? I'm going to make it here in this building and retire in this same building. Most people have to move around for opportunities.
Sir.
If Aaron Rodgers has to do the same, so
be it. Sir, some people are allowed to be, dare I say it, entitled, because it's not a matter of being entitled. Some people have earned this.
I'll give you that. You
talking about Aaron. Can you put some respect with a CK on his name?
Oh,
you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, what he has done for the Green Bay Packers organization.
According to you, not enough. When he won, they squandered him away.
Yes, it's not his fault, though. Like, Aaron Rodgers is entitled to say, yeah, I want to spend my whole career here. Aaron Rodgers is entitled to things that I would argue probably all but maybe five Packers are entitled to because of what he has done and meant to that franchise. The dude has been the face of one of the faces of the NFL. He's been the face of a franchise that's one of the faces. So I'm not going to let you sit here and just belittle Aaron Rodgers, bro.
I'm not belittle him. I am not also going to feel sorry for him. You eat what you kill in the NFL, and he's eaten. Because he's killed. But now you're at a point where you got to realize what's happening, the writing on the wall. I warned Aaron Rodgers last year. You weren't here.
What you say?
I said, look, Aaron Rodgers, anytime a team is asking less of you and getting more out of their team in terms of wins and losses, they about to play you. I've been in that position before where they're sitting there like, oh, no, it's fine. You only threw for 200 yards. Oh, it's fine. You only threw for 167 yards. We're good with that. And as soon as the offseason hit, what did they do in the draft? It wasn't so fine after all. So all I'm saying is, I think we're on the same page. I'm just saying, Aaron, you know it. You're 36. He said he's not bitter about it. Writing's on the wall. Time to read it. Let's move on to another quarterback with some question marks this season, Cam Newton, who said he's, quote, going at next all year. Say it again, going at next. After every team not named New England passed on him. Cam has been no stranger to social media this offseason, and his latest Instagram post says, he has no plan to forget about his critics anytime soon. Former MVP posted, quote, dear haters, I have so much more for you to be mad at.
Just be patient.
Ooh, I chose. Is Cam setting himself up for failure with this haters post?
Bruh, Cam. Bruh, I've been riding for Cam since day one.
Uh-oh.
I told you.
Uh-oh.
Me and you on the hill.
Uh-oh.
Except I planted the flag and you climbed up there with me. I said, chill, Marcellus. I'ma plant the Cam Newton flag.
Yeah.
Hear the problem, bruh.
Uh-oh.
I'm starting to have to dig the flag up. Mm. But it has nothing to do with Cam. I think Cam is setting himself up for failure because he got to realize it looks like there's a mass exodus in New England right now.
Really,
like, let me tell Cam, because I don't know if Cam be watching the shows like he needs to.
Not all.
Let me tell Cam, bruh, he lost 2-time Pro Bowler, 6'4", 270-pound beast middle linebacker in Dante Hightower yesterday. Because Hightower said, I'm going to opt out of this season.
Right.
Okay, if that wasn't enough, Cam lost 3-time Super Bowl champion safety Patrick Chung, who said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and opt out for this season too. Over 200 starts between them two dogs. Remember, bruh, defensive players, we put the fire out. Offense throws an interception. Hey, defense, hey, put your helmets on. Let's go put the fire out. The problem is,
I love it.
Cam ain't got no firemen. He ain't got no firemen no more. So it's easy, to talk trash. You know, say you in a club, say you walking down the street, you can talk reckless because I know, oh, big bro Marcellus, he gonna look out for me. You feel me? I'm gonna talk a little bit crazier because my dog got my back. Well, Cam Newton, you ain't got them same dogs anymore. So I think he's setting himself up for failure, not because anything he's doing, but he ain't got that same squad to back him up, bro.
Good point. If we ever go out, which is going to be rare, I ain't had a fight since the 8th grade.
So I'm out?
Oh, yeah, I keep my track spikes on. I'm out, bro, running down a boulevard. Okay, I don't think he's setting himself up for failure with this post. Because he can win this way. Like, there's a lot of people fully motivated by haters.
Okay.
Michael Jordan comes to mind quickly with those liquor store eyes, talking about, oh, man, I use all the negatives for a positive. But he is setting himself up for disappointment and unfulfillment, which to me should matter when you're talking about Cam Newton and his redemption story, if we're going to call this 2.0 Cam in New England. Cam, you don't need this for motivation. Your motivation should be from the fact that if I'm fully healthy, I'm still an MVP candidate. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go into that place. To me, it's a sunken place. Because even if I look at the great Michael Jordan, it looks a little hollow in that existence when you got to put down your number two, Scottie Pippen, and everybody who's around you. All surrounding pieces were drowned out by your greatness. It just didn't look like a fulfilling experience, even though your awards and your wall of accolades is second to none. So I'm looking at Cam saying, hey, chasing the negative, never going to lead to a positive, brother. You can win this way. But once you get to the winner's circle, how you going to feel about that, Cam? Cam Newton should know he's going to a situation where not Dante Hightower, not Patrick Chung was out of the lineup. The Tom Brady missed the season. How many games did they win without that quarterback?
11, I believe.
11.
Yep.
You keep saying you don't see any firemen. All you need to know is the fire chief is still in the building. His name is Bill Belichick. And where he is, there's an opportunity. So if I'm Cam Newton, I'm looking at this situation like I still got life. Why waste it on haters?
The other thing is you got to remember, if you Cam, the more you call out your haters, the more you're inciting them.
Oh, yeah.
You feel me? Like, it's a lot of people who are indifferent about Cam, right? It's a lot of people who's like, yeah, I ain't seen him in a couple years, out of sight, out of mind. But now Cam keep talking. Cam keep poking the bear. Cam keep poking the Twitter haters. He keep poking the fans. Bruh, you finna wake them up. And when they wake up, they're going to be waiting on you to fail. I fervently believe quarterbacking is a winning stat. I think that you look at quarterbacks.
Wins, losses, on?
Wins, losses.
Okay.
I think you can tell how quality a quarterback is by the success of the team. The quarterback is the driving factor for the overall success of the team. Even if Marcellus Cam goes out there and balls, bruh, but the Patriots don't win these games, we still going to look at Cam and be like, great, you had a good season. You went 7-9, right? Like, you let the Dolphins, you let the Jets, you let the Bills beat you. Even if Cam balls, his overall aura, his success is still going to be tainted by the lack of success above the team. So I think right now, Cam got to look bigger picture. And he got to realize, man, I'm calling out these haters, but I'm Superman. I'm not Batman, Captain America, and Superman.
Right.
You feel me? And right now, he got to be the whole squad. And I don't know that Cam coming off an injury can live up to all of that.
Now, is that the Avengers? Because I get lost.
I think like the whole, I get a little
DC,
lost.
Marvel.
All that.
Okay, one of them. Look, golly, I didn't win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I wish I did. Actually, I could have. I could have just been on the bench with the Giants in 07 and won one. They wanted me bad, and I was like, nah, my knee hurts. Should have just went there and got one. Then I'd be a Super Bowl champion, and everyone would believe every word I say.
Right.
But now, since I'm a non-Super Bowl champion, people say, what you know about winning? I won in other ways other than just a Super Bowl ring. Let's talk about winning in life.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Cam Newton, if you don't start counting those with you, not against you, that's where you get your most motivation, your most fuel. The most positive reinforcement is from those who believe in you. And they are plentiful. More people believe in Cam Newton than don't.
That's facts.
But this dude is getting caught up like we all do. We read our timeline. Love you, Marcellus. Love you, Acho. Love you, Marcellus. Oh, the show sucks. Wait a minute. Who said the show sucks? We forgot the thousands of people who are loving us. But Cam is getting caught up into that mindset. He also is caught up in a competing interest moment in terms of where New England is.
What you mean?
I'm going to tell you, if I'm going to be real, Cam Newton is fully motivated to go out there and do what he needs to do, dolo. Cam just needs numbers. Let's be real. He's on a one-year, $7.5 million deal in New England to get numbers to get the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
New England's interest may be, some are saying tanking, some are saying, hey, we're just going to see how it plays post-Brady and then reevaluate because of their cap situation. But hold on, if I'm Cam Newton, I can't get caught up in y'all restricted cap situation.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Cam Newton, I can't get caught up in this mass exodus and all of a sudden y'all, quote unquote, may be tanking. I gotta get my numbers. So it's gonna be an interesting play if the organization is going in a different direction than Cam Newton, who's going fully motivated just for his numbers. Coming up, we're excited to unveil our new NBA analyst.
Let's go.
He's a Texas Longhorn like Acho, and the NBA champ, Tristan Thompson, joins the show next. Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Let's move to Lou Williams, who is currently spending an NBA-mandated 10 days in quarantine because he went to a gentleman's club in Atlanta while outside the bubble. Now, Williams said he was just going to get some chicken wings.
Why?
Not to party, but either way, the Clippers are going to be without him for the first two games, including Thursday's opener against the Lakers. We're joined by the man who will make Marcellus the third most intelligent person on this set. Tristan Thompson, NBA champion, Longhorn, like myself. Oh, Tristan, what's up, bro? My dog. That's it. That's it. I don't need no words. Just throw it up. Marcellus, I'm gonna start with you, Marcellus. Should the Clippers teammates be disappointed in Lou Williams?
We ain't got no, like, hook 'em horns, all that. All we got is academics and reputation, damn it. Long shot for you Longhorns to survive on this show with me. Respect, Tristan. I'm a big fan of yours. All right, let's talk about this. Because I am really upset at basketball media, especially, for really turning this into something that it wasn't. To making a mountain out of a molehill, as I want to read what happened with Lou Williams. By all accounts, Lou Williams had an excused absence and in the interim went to his favorite restaurant that happened to be a strip club without any strippers and took a socially distanced picture in his league-approved mask before grabbing his food and dipping out. But we have turned that into something of scandal because how dare he go to an establishment that is resembling a nude ballet. But there was no one in there ballet dancing. So I don't understand the outcry, the fake rage, the virtue signaling on 10. And it's really just morphed into stripper shaming. Because if he would have went to Joe's Crab Shack, what would have been the issue then? This is crazy that the NBA, because of his protocol that wasn't properly defined, and he was caught out in public, when a funeral is out in public, and there are more people at the funeral than at the stripless stripper joint, we had turned this into something that is supposed to be a distraction. I'm glad Doc Rivers and the Clippers are all supporting Lou Williams like I am.
Tristan,
good. What you think?
I agree. I'm with Doc. At the end of this team is built for a championship. You know, these guys all make sacrifices, go to bubble. And this team is built to win. I think if I'm on the Clippers, Lou's my teammate, I'm like, bro, first of all, I will say, I've been to Atlanta, and the wings that you see are amazing.
Wait, that's the wings? Only the wings?
If I was on a layover right now and I had enough time to get me some wings, I'm definitely stopping at Magic City to give you some wings. Those wings are amazing. So
fire.
My dog Lua, I understand, I know. But I think at the end of the day, it's as long as Lou Williams comes out and averages 19 points per game,
right,
and we win a championship,
right,
somebody else is gonna make a mistake. Someone is gonna order Postmates next week or by Friday, and they're gonna be quarantined. Everyone's gonna be talking about them. It's just something to talk about. But for me, as Lou was my teammate, I'm like, man, them wings are good. Just next time, bring me some back.
Yo, Tristan, I respect your honesty, bro. I do. But here's the problem I have, man.
God.
We gotta talk about these optics, bro. Tristan Marcellus, we got to talk about optics. Y'all not just going to sit here on camera and ignore optics. Lou Will, I get it. Maybe there ain't no difference between Joe's Crab Shack and them wings that's named after you. I get it. Mm. Maybe them wings smack. I don't know if they was lemon pepper. I don't know if they was honey barbecue. I don't know if them was garlic parmesans. I don't know. Maybe they smack. But the fact of the matter is, optics. You went to a nude ballet
establishment.
You went there, bro. It's different than going to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Okay? It's different. So my problem is, Tristan, it's with the optics, bro, because you said they built for a championship, but you can't be built for something if one of your pieces are missing two games because he's suspended, bro. Somebody got to make it make sense.
I'm going to make it make sense for you because you have now conflated so many elements.
I have.
You have.
Okay.
And the NBA has as well.
Okay.
So you've just hitched your wagon to them. And you guys are going down this abyss to try and really shame not only Lou Williams, but strippers. It's unfair to everybody right here. We understand that the bubble has been constructed for the integrity of the players' health and safety, correct? And then you can leave the bubble, but you have to come back and be quarantined for a minimum of 4 days, right? Lou Williams leaves the bubble.
Mm-hmm, he did.
And if Lou Williams didn't have a picture with that Laker fan, Jack Harlow, one-hit wonder, he would still come back like
so
everyone else.
So it's the Lakers fan's fault.
Well,
that's what you're trying to tell me. Well, you always trying to deflect, Marcellus.
I can't distance NBA fans from Laker fans a lot of times. So does anyone know who Rashawn Holmes is? I do. Rashawn Holmes ordered some wings, went to get them, went a little too far away from the bubble to get them, had to quarantine for 10 days. Where's the story about Rashawn Holmes? Oh, no story. You know why? Because he didn't go to the sensationalized stripper joint with no strippers. So that's what this is about. Is it about the compromised health of the NBA players? Absolutely not. Is it about the bubble? Absolutely not. It's about the PR. How dare you get caught on camera and get caught on camera at that place when it has nothing to do with compromising the health of the players.
Wrong.
Acho, let me get in here.
Please,
you said
man,
he's gonna miss two games. I'm gonna tell you something right now. I played for T-Lou, and T-Lou is definitely young Doc Rivers. One thing about those guys, they're ready for the playoffs. T-Lou told us specifically, he said, I don't care if we're the first seed, the fourth seed, the eighth seed, because once that playoffs start, nobody wants to see us and our dogs.
Mm.
So, yes, Lou is missing two games, but they just trying to make sure everyone stays healthy. Listen, one of the big pit bulls not even there right now that everyone should be afraid of, that's Montrezl Harrell.
Preach.
That boy, he's, listen, when that boy get on the court and he go that ISO on that left block, nobody wants to see him. So, I mean, two games, keep Lou Will fresh. I want to keep him fresh because you know what? I want to see the best six man to ever play this game be ready to go into playoff time. So, Lou, get your rest, ice them knees.
let me ask you this, though, Tristan.
And get right.
I think, and Marcellus, this is why I'm so disappointed in you. I can understand it from Tristan. But, Marcellus, I'm disappointed in you because the difference between, I would say, football and basketball is football is much more of a team sport. Like, we are interdependent. If the left tackle does not study the playbook and know what he's doing, quarterback gonna get blindsided.
Boom.
If the defensive end don't hit that C-gap when I'm blitzing on the outside, I'm gonna run right into his back.
Bang.
Football is much more interdependent. Like Tristan just said, you can call an ISO in basketball, and really, you out there buying yourself, it's mano y mano, I'm doing my thing. My problem with Lou Will is that if I'm his teammate, I don't know if I can really trust that my dog is as committed as me. That's my problem. Because, Marcellus, it's not going to be like I'm not going to want to leave the bubble. I'm stuck out here in the dorm room. Tristan, you know, we out here stuck in San Jack like we in Austin, Texas. It's not like I'm not going to want to leave myself. It's not like I'm not going to want to go get no wings. It's not like I'm not going to want to get a hot, spicy chicken sandwich a day in my life. but I'm not going to do that for the sake of the team. Tristan, do you not feel, at least to a degree, that he is getting some benefits that some of his other teammates not get?
No, I think at the end of the day,
thank you.
There's a totem pole, right? There's a totem pole. You got PG, Kawhi, you got Lou Will, you got Montrez. You know, those are the guys that's carrying this team right now. You know, those guys everyone's depending on them night in, night out. So as long as Lou Will is coming, giving me 19 points a game, making them free throws and making them clutch shots when needed, you know, I get what you're saying. You're saying, you know, why does he get to do this, da da da. But I mean, that's life. Mm. That's life. Not everyone can be the top dog.
Hey,
sometimes you just
got
to play this position. And that's job preservation. Sometimes you got to stay in your place. Sometimes you got, like, you know, if you're number 12 guy on the bench, you cannot be asking Coach Doc Rivers why Lou Will and Kawhi and Paul. You can't. You got to stay in your place sometimes.
You say,
hey, young fella.
Yeah. You know. Hey, when you walk
stay
in the
grown man's business.
Tristan, when you walk in the building, everybody takes a peek at your shoulder to see how many stripes you got, mm-hmm. to make sure they know how to respect you and who you are, yes. in terms of command. And Lou Williams in his 17th season, as you even said, sixth man, not of the year, sixth man of history. You're not going to disrespect Lou Williams, but if Lou Williams puts himself in a compromised position, every team I've ever been on, leadership always says, do you. But there are two clauses. One is, hey, bro, don't get caught. Mm-hmm. And two is, mm-hmm. don't let it affect your mm-hmm. game. Whatever you do. Man, raise your hand if you ever broke curfew. I did. Oh, you get it in camera? I did. And when I broke curfew, guess who I saw who didn't break curfew, but who was wilding in the streets too?
See.
My coaches. Because when coaches land on the road trips, they out in them streets harder than us because we got to go to bed. You don't know about that NBA player. But the point of it is, man, the league is littered with people who do things that no one knows about. But when one gets caught, let's not chastise them to this degree.
See, that's the problem, Tristan. You're going to learn.
We keep it real.
Marcellus, bruh, the more he's talked, he starts to tell on himself. See, I didn't even know Lou Will had been in the league for 17 years. Dude been in the league 17 years, which means what, Marcellus? He should know better, sir. What that mean, Tristan? That mean if he been in the league 17 years of somebody, Lou Will should be the leader. Don't you say, what is it, leaders eat last? Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth now?
I don't know about that.
Leaders eat last. Leaders, that's first class, eat first. Eat first.
Thank you. I'm in front of this plane for a reason, bro.
What dog? Tristan, great having you, man.
For a reason. I'm the captain now.
That is Lou Williams. You stupid.
Yo, wow. Yo, Tristan, we're going to see you some more throughout the season, my dog. Good to have you on.
That was great.
Coming up, my Aaron Rodgers said he wasn't elated with the Jordan Love pick.
I'm the captain.
We'll tell you if he should be bitter with the Packers for making that move. Next, Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Tristan, think he's slick. Fox 30 Tonight Baseball is coming out swinging. And this week, J.D. Martinez and Pete Alonso square off as the Red Sox take on the Mets. Another regional action. Francisco Lindor leads the Indians against the Twins. That's tomorrow, 7 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area. In my baseball voice, welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's move on to Aaron Rodgers, who is known for saying R-E-L-A-X, relax. But that wasn't the case on draft day. Packers drafted quarterback Jordan Love in the first round when Rodgers was expecting a wide receiver. In a recent podcast, Rodgers said his agent texted him about the pick, then he had a drink. Take a listen.
I poured myself, four fingers, and I knew it was going to be one of those nights where the people were going to start calling and there's going to be, hey, you know, is everything fine? You okay? I'm like, yeah, fine. Like, you know, I wasn't elated by the pick, you know, especially being one game away from the Super Bowl and feeling like we're a couple players away, but at the same time, I understand it's a business.
Four fingers of that Casa Zagones. Shout out to Jason Whitlock. Joined now by Fox NFL analyst Bucky Brooks. But Otto, let's start with you, big dog. Should Aaron Rodgers be bitter over the team drafting Jordan Love?
Absolutely, he should be bitter. And he should be bitter because the Packers, they out here tripping, and they've been tripping. Let me put it in context. It's not as if the Packers were drafting out of excess like the Chiefs. Mm. Chiefs got to their pick, last pick in the first round, and they're like, we don't really need anybody. Sure, we'll take another running back that can catch the ball and run the ball.
Another one.
Packers don't have that same luxury. The Packers have holes. The Packers have voids. Voids that, if they were filled, would help Aaron Rodgers. Hmm. Let's talk about the fact that the Packers didn't have a 1,000-yard receiver last year. How you have a tier one quarterback, but no 1,000-yard receiver. Imagine how good that means Aaron Rodgers must really be. But you're saying, come on, Acho, having a 1,000-yard receiver, is that a big deal?
Yeah.
Let me put it in context for you. Nine teams didn't have a 1,000-yard receiver, and we can talk about them. Arizona Cardinals, well, they had a rookie quarterback. New York Giants, well, they had a rookie quarterback. Hmm. The Washington Redskins, well, they had a rookie quarterback. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they had a quarterback named Duck. The Indianapolis Colts, their quarterback Jacoby Brissett got hurt. Carson Wentz with the Eagles, he ain't have no receivers. So you get the point. The fact of the matter is the Packers desperately needed to help Aaron Rodgers. The Packers offense desperately needed help, and they didn't get any by drafting Jordan Love. Mm. They got a project which we're not sure yet how long it'll take to complete.
Oh. Man, I understand it, and I like you pulling out those stats, and it was selective because Devontae Adams was just a couple of crumbs away from 1,000 yards.
Relax.
I know. Here's the thing about Aaron Rodgers, and here's where we got to get away with giving people lifetime achievement awards. Since 2016, Aaron Rodgers has not played at a high level. Declining production in his completion percentage, declining passer rating, not necessarily being the player that we've anointed him to be. Also, at 36 years old, how long can we remain committed to a guy who is beginning to show signs of decline? I think this was a smart move because it reminds me of the team that hoisted a trophy at the end of the year, the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs had Aaron Rodgers' classmate, Alex Smith. Alex Smith was playing at a high level. Mm. However, they had an opportunity to get a young quarterback, a quarterback like Pat Mahomes, who they redshirted for a year before they gave him the reins to the offense. And lo and behold, 2 years later, the Kansas City Chiefs did something they hadn't done in 50 years to the Super Bowl champion. Maybe, just maybe, that's why Jordan Love is in the green.
No, there's a couple things, Bucky, I can't let you slide with.
Uh-oh, here we go.
You look dapper right now, and I'm going to start with a compliment because you know what they say.
Yeah.
You got to give them a compliment sandwich. You talk good about them, then you talk bad about them. I'm at the talk bad about you phase right now.
It's coming.
I would not let you compare Jordan Love to Pat Mahomes. If the Packers would have drafted a Pat Mahomes, which we knew, I saw it tech, we all saw it tech, this dude can go crazy. I wouldn't be tripping.
We all saw that.
But they drafted Jordan Love. While Jordan Love might be a poor man's Pat Mahomes, and maybe he'll one day beat a Pat Mahomes.
Hello.
Jordan Love, he's just not that yet.
Hello.
The other thing, bro, Bucky, you said Aaron Rodgers is in decline. And while statistically that may be true.
Well, that's it.
He in decline because he ain't got no help. Aaron Rodgers about to be 37 this year. What did Tom Brady do at the age of 40 years old, gentlemen? He just won an MVP award. So we know that Aaron Rodgers may still got 3 to 7 good years in the tank if the Packers don't trick him off. That's all I got to say. I can't let you slide with these lies.
But Bucky!
Look good in that suit, though.
Get him, Bucky. Please get him, Bucky. I'll stand on the sidelines.
I mean, I'm just sitting here, and I'm listening to the excuse-making that we do for Aaron Rodgers. And, like, here's what we do. I think your compensation must match your production. I think that's what we've been taught as being guys that have been in the league. So when we play someone 35 million dollars, the expectation is he is to elevate the team. It's not, oh, I'm gonna pay him $35 million, but we got to get all of this other stuff. You know, it's kind of like when you go and get that Tesla. When you go and get the Tesla, you don't have to pay extra for, hey, I want power windows. Oh, I need to get the radio. Oh, I need the CD deck and all this other thing. When you get the Tesla and you drive it off the lot, it comes fully equipped.
Here's the problem, though, Buck. Did he say a CD deck? Here's the problem, though, bro. Marcella, stop driving. Okay? We're putting the car in park. Because who's the best quarterback in the league? Pat Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes got Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins. Pat Mahomes has weapons. Who the other quarterback in the league? Russell Wilson. He still had 3 running backs get hurt. And then they called up Marshawn Lynch. Okay, but besides that, he got Tyler Lockett, one of the most underrated receivers in the league, and they drafted a freakazoid in the second round in DK Metcalf. All I'm asking is for the Packers to treat Aaron Rodgers like other competent organizations treat their star quarterbacks. You're not just going to sit here and act like I'm making excuses for the man. I'm just calling spades, spades. Bucky, you out here calling spades clubs, okay? Oh. You calling spades hearts and diamonds, coach.
Don't worry about it. I got the big joker. Don't worry about it.
Well, can I get a little quick one in? Let all the fans go get some popcorn and go to the bathroom real quick. Let me just jump in real quick. The great coach at Columbia University, running backs coach Joe White, used to say, in life, you either get bitter or better. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm going to use that quote in context of the Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Please. One game away from the Super Bowl. Now, they weren't close in that game. It was 30-27 final score, but anybody watched that game realized they were down like negative 100. But they were one game away from it all. And if you leave that offseason, you're thinking, ooh, if they give us what we need, we're going to close that gap and maybe get over the hump and be in the Super Bowl. Anybody out there in America thinks that what the Packers needed was a backup quarterback? No. So because Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers didn't get better, he should be bitter. And that's how I'm going to apply it to this situation. No way should they have went up in the draft, in the first round, and grabbed a guy who can't even get on the field when you're that damn close.
Talk about it.
You know what?
Talk about it.
I love the version of speak for yourself because I get a chance to get on there with two intellectuals. I get to serve facts and bring receipts. So here's what I have.
Please.
I have for you. Since 2011, in the Super Bowl, 33% of the quarterbacks that have played in the Super Bowl have been on their original rookie contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The way that you build a Super Bowl winner is you have to have a young quarterback in place. Now, I love Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has done great things for the Green Bay Packers. But sometimes in football, it's better to get rid of a quarterback a year too early rather than a year too late. They have Jordan Love there to redshirt to get ready. But make no mistake, when the Packers go to the Super Bowl, it will be because of Jordan Love, not because of it.
Oh, see, this is what I'm doing with Bucky's receipts. This is what I'm doing with your receipts, okay? And let me tell you why I'm doing this with your receipts. Because I said this earlier, the Packers won one Super Bowl with Favre. They won one Super Bowl with Rodgers. So if we just look at the trajectory of the Packers last 30 years, even if Jordan Love starts for 15, 20 years for that organization, he's inclined to one Super Bowl. So what I'm saying, Bucky, is if you would have used this draft, the next draft, any draft to help Aaron Rodgers, who's to say he can't just get you that one more Super Bowl that Love is statistically going to get you over the next 15 years? So I get your receipts. And I see your receipts.
You kind of struggled on that first.
I did. But I'm tearing up your receipts, Bucky. I don't like them.
Bucky,
I understand that, and I do know that. But the quarterback is supposed to be the most important position on the field. The reason the Packers have been consistent contenders, because of stability at the position, they needed to make sure they secured the bag by getting the young quarterback. They now have secured it. And guess what? They don't have to move on from Aaron Rodgers. He determines whether they move on. If he continues to play at a high level, they'll continue to keep him employed as the Packers quarterback. However, we know if he doesn't play, he's out the door. He knows it, too. That's why he's sipping on that tequila.
Bucky, strong work right there. Future GM right there. But coming up, let's talk about a Hall of Fame GM. See that transition? That says Joe Burrow is going to struggle in his rookie season, like Otto did with that paper tearing. With the Bengals, we'll tell you if we agree. Next, Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Try that again, dog. So some of our other favorite sports may be on hold, horse racing is still running strong with live coverage of top-tier races on FS1 and FS2 throughout July. You can enjoy horse racing from top tracks across the country all month long. Visit americasbestracing.net/strong to learn more. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Let's talk that man, Joe Burrow, who agreed to his 4-year rookie deal with the Bengals yesterday. Now, many are expecting the overall number one pick to be the savior of the Cincinnati Bengals franchise, but Hall of Fame GM Bill Polian thinks it'll be a tough rookie season because of Burrow's lack of prep time. Polian said Burrow is, quote, on a struggle. He's so far behind now. Well, fellow LSU Tiger alum Tyrann Mathieu came to Burrow's defense tweeting, and same guy who said he wouldn't draft me because I wasn't a leader. I'm a 3-time team captain. He said, I don't deserve the opportunity to provide for my family. I'm one of the highest paid players in the league. Let's go, Joe. Joined once again by that dude speaking his hot fire, Bucky Brooks. But Marcellus, I'm coming to you first. Are you okay with Bill Polian's criticism of Joe Burrow?
Yeah, I actually am. He said nothing wrong, but I understand right now. I understand the climate. We're trying to tear down Bill Polian's statue out there because of previous transgressions, if you know what I'm saying. So now we're not going to listen to the message, and we're just going to shoot it down because of the messenger? Well, let me remind y'all who the messenger is.
Please.
The architect of those great Buffalo Bills teams and Indianapolis coach teams. This is a genius level general manager, Hall of Fame general manager. So with that said, he's had some opinions that have gone awry. I get it. Everyone has made mistakes before. But when you talk about a young quarterback coming into the league, most of them struggle, especially let's talk about the number one overall picks. Can I put up a full screen right here of a first-year, first overall quarterbacks who have struggled but still go on to amazing careers and years? Peyton Manning won 3 games his first year. John Elway, the great, my favorite player, 4 games. Troy Aikman, donuts. I'm talking about Krispy Kreme, light on. Mm. Andrew Luck inherited Peyton Manning's team with the bad neck. He won 11. Cam Newton, 6. Terry Bradshaw, 3. But then if you scan to the right, you see career Pro Bowls, beast, 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 beast. The point is, Bill Polian's not saying he's going to be sorry. He's saying he's going to struggle. And if anyone disagrees with him, let him speak now.
I got a problem with it, so I'm going to speak, Marcellus. Just because you were acclaimed at one point in time doesn't give you a pass to just talk reckless for the rest of your days. Mm. Marcellus, just because you played for, what was it, 8, 9, 10 years in the league?
Me?
Yeah.
Decade.
Decade, right?
Decade.
You're not finna go out there right now because your skill set has diminished.
Chill, and paper tear.
And I would say that the same thing can be true of Bill Polian, because here's a problem,
good
Marcellus.
Point. Good point.
I got a problem with the messenger when he has delivered invalid messages before. Oh. Well, what you mean, Acho? Let's talk about it.
Don't
Let's
do
take
this.
A look at what Bill Polian said about Lamar Jackson more recently. I called that into question. Polian said, man, I think Lamar is a wide receiver. He's an exceptional athlete.
Damn.
Short, a little bit slight, and clearly
Damn.
Not the thrower the other guys are. The accuracy isn't there. Don't wait to make that change.
Chill, Bill.
Well, Marcellus, fucking, let's talk about those other guys that Bill Polian was referring to, because now I got to call into question Bill Polian's credentials in thinking about players as a player. Lamar Jackson.
One.
Look at what he's done. 19 wins. The other guys, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen. Where do they pair in comparison? Lamar Jackson, 20 points better QBR rating. Lamar Jackson, 9 interceptions, second lowest on that list, 19. So I have a problem, Marcellus, with the messenger, because some of his earlier messages have been wrong. I just got to assume this one might be as well. Bucky?
Man.
Wow. I mean, like, I feel like this is, before we even talk about Joe Burrow, we're going to talk about Bill Polian. But let's just talk about the gold jacket guys that he's brought into this league. We talk about Thurman Thomas and Andre Reed. He signed Jim Kelly. We go to Indianapolis. Peyton Manning will be a gold jacket guy. Edgerrin James is always there. So we're talking about a guy who certainly understands how to evaluate players. Now, when we talk about the Lamar Jackson thing, I disagree with his opinion on Lamar Jackson. That doesn't mean we dismiss everything that Bill Polian says, because he's one of the greatest to ever do it as a 6-time NFL Executive of the Year. But as it relates to Joe Burrow,
please,
I think he brings up some very good points. Joe Burrow is having he's going to have a struggle because he hasn't been afforded the opportunity to have a normal offseason program. He hasn't had mini camps and those training camps and the preseason games, which really, really matter for young quarterbacks when it comes to getting acclimated to the speed of the game, the complexities of NFL defenses. Now, the Cincinnati Bengals also struggled up front. So the offensive line hasn't had an opportunity to develop that continuity that they need to protect him. I love the weapons that they have around him. A.J. Green coming back, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon is a dog. They have all those things. But up front, the lack of chemistry and the lack of chemistry and continuity between Joe Burrow and the play caller, Zach Taylor, that could be an issue. That's why he could struggle, but still go on to have success, like Marcellus pointed out, with those other number one picks.
Acho, man, I love you, dog, but that's too much pre-show Tupac, man. You came real hard at my dog. This is Bill's Mafia over here, Kill Bill, all day. You better ride for that dude, so I'm going to give you one more opportunity to correct yourself and put some respect on Bill Polian's name.
Like, I like that you live by Marcellus's mantra of facts over feelings. I genuinely like that, because you've come to me, sir, with a whole bunch of stats, and I'll be honest, I'm coming with a couple feelings. But the fact of the matter is, I understand what he's saying about Joe Burrow, and I'm not even necessarily saying that he's wrong, because I'm not Miss Cleo. I have no crystal ball. Do not call me now. But I don't know the future. I do understand, however, Joe Burrow might struggle, but he's not going to struggle any more than he would have struggled otherwise.
Oh, stop.
I just don't appreciate somebody trying to come in and knock a young man off and speak that in that negative energy into existence before it ever exists. So, y'all come with all y'all facts.
Acho.
Y'all come with all y'all stats.
Acho.
And you know what I'm going to come with today, Marcellus?
What?
I'm going to come with my feelings. Coming up, Aaron Rodgers said he poured a big tequila drink when the Packers drafted Jordan Love. We'll ask Uncle Jimmy what he think about all that. Speak for yourself.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Let's talk Aaron Rodgers. We learned he was bummed out the Packers drafted Jordan Love, drank some tequila, and said he wanted to play his entire career in Green Bay. Joined now by Uncle Jimmy.
You feel sorry for Aaron Rodgers?
Look at this dude.
Where you at, Uncle?
The soul plane.
Look, man.
Where are you?
Aaron Rodgers was the last quarterback drafted in the first round to not start for two entire seasons.
True. Facts.
That's the equivalent of starting kindergarten and getting held back for 2 years. Okay? In other words, the boy's slow. The boy's what the French call being la few French fries shy of the happy meal. It's what Marcellus Wiley's mama meant when she said, "No, baby, you don't ride no little bus. You ride the nacho bus." Hey, man.
Cheeto.
Aaron Rodgers is going through it. He done lost his woman. He about to lose his job to a black dude. Now, of course, he gonna pour his four fingers of a Acosta. You know what he gonna need to do? He need to start doing videos called "An Uncomfortable Conversation with an Old Ass White Dude." That's what he should do.
What the hell? What does that got to do with
this? I'm just saying, man.
He ain't going nowhere. 2 years. Look at the cat.
I respect it.
He ain't going nowhere for 2 years.